Grace be unto you and peace from the God who was willing to die for us so that we would be able to live for him. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, a true life story. The young man was only 29 years old. He was a lawyer in Illinois. He was married and had three children. All three of his children were under the age of five. One day he woke up and he had a splitting headache. As the day went on, his headache only got worse. After a while, he had difficulty seeing. Then he had difficulty walking. Then he went to the doctor. After running some tests, the doctor told him that he had a brain tumor and he needed to have specialized surgery immediately. But he also warned him that if he survived that surgery, there would be a year-long recovery process that would be very difficult to do. And if he survived that first year, then every year after that, he would have less and less chance of that tumor returning. Well, he did survive the surgery. And he did survive that difficult year of recovery. After that, he was being interviewed, and a reporter asked him, "Have you learned anything from this?" His response, "Your life is on loan." We don't always look at our life from that perspective, do we? We get up in the morning and we go about our daily routine as though nothing is ever going to change. We plan vacations and careers. We formulate hopes and dreams. The younger we are, the more likely we are to think that we have many, many years left on our journey through this world. Not necessarily so. Both the account of this young lawyer in Illinois as well as our sermon text for today focus our attention on a very powerful truth. That truth is this, my friends. Your life is on loan. When we stop to realize that our life is indeed on loan, that presents us with two options. We can live our life with the goal of striving to store up as much as we possibly can for ourselves. Or we can live our life with the goal of becoming rich, rich towards God. The event that precipitated our sermon text for today is one that, sadly, is all too common. Look at the opening verse of our text. Luke writes, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' To this very day, it is amazing how the death of an individual can sometimes lead to an unleashing, a scrambling of people trying to get a piece of their estate. I have seen the hurt. I have seen the anger. I have seen the long-term repercussions when someone passes away and then people are feeding on their material possessions." Jesus' response to this young man's question reminds us of how important it is for us to remember your life is on loan. And to help us understand this important truth, our dear Lord and Savior goes on to give us a parable. It is the parable of the rich fool. Now, this is a parable that is not difficult at all to understand, is it? There was a certain rich man who was suddenly faced with a problem. A problem that many people wouldn't mind having. His business, his farm, had an extremely productive year. A modern-day parallel of what Jesus says in this parable might be someone who receives a nice bonus at work, or someone who receives a nice inheritance from a family member or a friend, or someone whose stock portfolio has done rather well over the course of the years. Now, for the record, my friends, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being wealthy. For the record, there is absolutely nothing wrong with planning for the future like this rich man did here in our text. What was wrong was that this man was convinced that his wealth, his riches, his earthly possessions were the result of his own hard work. It never even occurred to him that the good Lord is the one who had given him these blessings. It never even occurred to him that it was the good Lord who caused the sun to shine and the rain to fall on his fields so that they could produce a good crop. It never occurred to him to use all of these blessings in order to help other people. The only thing that occurred to him was, how am I going to store up even more for myself? We hear him say in our text, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Do we have to battle against this kind of greed, my friends? We most certainly do. If for some reason the Lord has caused it so that we live simply from paycheck to paycheck, if for some reason the Lord has not given to us as much earthly wealth as he has given to other people we know, our old sinful nature will do everything it can to cause that ugly green-eyed monster called greed or envy to raise its ugly head and make itself known in our own heart and in our own life. If, on the other hand, the good Lord has indeed blessed us with great material wealth, if, on the other hand, the Lord has blessed us with far more than just our daily bread, we have to be extremely careful that we do not consciously or unconsciously adopt the attitude of this rich fool here in our text. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. We would be far better off to remember the advice that the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. He wrote, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Paul's advice to Timothy ties in very well with the words of our Savior in our text. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. We can squander and waste our entire life here on this earth by striving to store up as much as we possibly can for ourselves. Or we can enhance and enlarge our life here on this earth by consciously striving to be rich. Rich towards God. What goal are you and I to have as the dearly beloved adopted children of our Heavenly Father? That's obviously a rhetorical question, isn't it, my friends? Now, how might we describe the life of a Christian here on this earth whose goal is to become rich toward God? Here is where our sermon text from last Sunday dovetails very nicely with our sermon text for today. When we consciously spend every single day walking with Jesus, then we will indeed be rich toward God. When we strive by God's grace to stay focused on the cross, the peace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the comfort, the strength that only the cross of Jesus Christ can give to us, then we will be rich toward God. When we consider God's holy word and God's holy sacraments the most precious possessions that we have been given, then we will be rich toward God. When our relationship with Jesus is far more important to us than going out with our friends or going out and enjoying all the pleasures that this sinful world so freely offers to us, then we will be rich toward God. When we strive by God's strength to live our life in such a way that everyone around us is able to see that we consider our greatest treasure to be the treasure that the good Lord has stored up waiting for us in heaven, then we will indeed be rich toward God. Here is where I need to ask you to do something this week, my friends. I encourage you to take some time over the course of this next week to sit down and ask yourself to examine your own heart and your own life. Is the goal of your life centered on storing up things for yourself? Or is the goal of your life to become rich toward God? Do the outward actions of your life accurately reflect the goal that is in your heart? Or do you say and think and do one thing while you are here in church, but you say, do, and think something totally different during the course of the rest of the week? Not only do we all need to ask ourselves these very difficult questions, but today is a very good day to start asking those questions. Why is today a good day to start asking those questions? Because today the Lord Jesus himself comes to us through his holy inspired word, and he says to us, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' Your life is indeed on loan." True life story. None of us knows how long it will be before the Lord God Almighty comes and demands our life from us. Think about it. People can be sitting at work, faithfully doing their work, when suddenly an airliner comes crashing through the wall. People can be driving around, going to work, going to school, just traveling around town, and then they cross over a bridge that they have crossed over hundreds of times before. But unexpectedly, that bridge collapses in an earthquake. People can go to the doctor for a regular routine checkup, only to find out that they have an illness. They have a disease, and there is absolutely nothing that medical science can do in order to help them. Our life is indeed on loan, my friends. One day, we don't know when, but one day the Lord God will demand our life from us. Then we will stand before his judgment throne, and we will give an account. We will give an account of how we used the time, used the life that God gave to us while we are here on this earth. Does that reality need to frighten us? Not at all. When the focus of our life is on the cross of Jesus Christ, when the goal of our life is to be rich toward God, then no matter how much or how little time we have left here on the face of this earth, we know that we'll be ready. We will be ready when Christ comes to us and says, "It's time. It's time to come home." My prayer then this morning is that we will indeed live our life in such a way that we are always able to look into a mirror and say, "Remember, your life is on loan." To God be the glory. Amen.